Welcome to the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Miley, an IFS-informed certified trauma recovery coach. This show features interviews from survivors all over the world as they share their impactful story of thriving in their post-traumatic growth. We explore resources, tools, and coping skills to support the trauma survivor community. Enjoy. Welcome back to the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Miley. I'm an IFS-informed trauma recovery coach, and I have with us today Laura Giles. And Laura is a licensed clinical social worker. She has worked over 20 years in the mental health field, focusing on trauma work. She's worked in a maximum security prison, a psychiatric hospital, and in the courts, in addition to her private practice work. During that time, she's helped a lot of, quote, hard to help people to create happy, healthy lives very quickly and naturally. She uses shadow work to help trauma survivors get in the driver's seat of their lives and live authentically. She knows that healthy social and emotional skills are learned, but that they can't learn them in toxic environments. She offers spiritual tours, retreats, and workshops to provide people with a sanctuary where they can experience a healthy lifestyle and then take it home with them. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really excited to dive into the topic of shadow work. Can you just tell us, how did you get here? How did you land into this work that you found yourself in?
I think, like everybody, you know, life sets us up for whatever it is we end up doing. And I think my path started when I was a kid and I grew up in the suburbs and there were no people there that looked like me or my siblings. And as a result, I think I was picked on a lot. And the funny thing about it is I was telling a friend of mine about this, who's a bullying coordinator, and she says, "You were bullied." And I never thought about it that way because it was a situation where my power wasn't taken away. So it was like a moment in time for me, which I think is really important because we're not defined by the things that happen to us. We're defined by the way that we respond to the things that happen to us, right, and the meaning that we give it. So having that power, it was a thing that happened. But it made me curious, like, what is going on with these people? Because it was girls. And these same girls, we would chat at lunch. And then after school, if they got into a pod of girls, I needed to look out because they were coming after me. As soon as they got this mob mentality, it was all over. And that went on from first grade all the way through high school. So yeah, crazy. And then when I got into college, I didn't know what I was doing in college. I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I fell into a Psych 101 class. I thought, oh, here's an easy A. Let me do this class. And I found out people make sense. And it was a game changer. Because that experience of being othered, I call it othering, not bullying, really just made me confused about the whole human relationships and what makes people work. And psychology gave me those answers. Yeah. And I became really fascinated with all of that. And I'm a kind of person, I like to make order out of chaos. It's a puzzle. It's a cleaning. It's a something. I just love the satisfaction of putting things together and have them balanced and in order. And so my thing became people. Mm-hmm. And I started out, my first internship was in domestic violence, and I fell into that too. It wasn't a plan. I didn't say, oh, I always wanted to work with domestic violence. I was looking for an internship, and I was looking for something else. I think probation and parole. Mm-hmm. They didn't want me for the same reason that the girls didn't like me in high school. And another lady was there in the courts and she said, "You don't want her, I'll take her." And she took me under her wing and that got me started in domestic violence. And then from there, I went to sexual assault. So I kind of just groomed in trauma because that's where I landed. Yeah. And it really was fascinating for me because I met lots and lots of wonderful people. And by people, I'm talking about the clients. Yeah. They were just so honest and raw and real. And that's what I love most about people. Because when you're wounded and you just don't have the energy to maintain a mask anymore. And I love the work because the people show up so authentically.
I do love that. Your story is, I love the wording of your story, but I feel so connected. I resonate so much with that. And I love the way that you said in that psych class, you realize, oh, people make sense. Yeah. Like, this is a puzzle that you can figure out. That's really, really neat. I love it. So you talk a lot about authenticity. And before we kind of jump into shadow work, which is kind of where we're going, but
authenticity is so hard for trauma survivors for a long while, right? They have to hide so many different parts of themselves. What is so important about authenticity, and why is it so hard for trauma survivors to tap into?
I think you need safety for that. So one of the other things that I do is sacred travel. Mm-hmm. And I would take people to the places on the ley lines of the earth and vortexes or power places. And I thought that was why the trips were just always just mind-blowing and amazing. And then when those places started to get saturated, we went to different places that weren't on, you know, they didn't have these reputations. They were kind of unknown places in nature. And we were having the same effect. And I was like, because things make sense. I'm like, okay, my wheels are turning. What is going on here? And what I figured out is it was safety. So when people go to places like this, they're looking for a transformative experience. They want something wonderful to happen, but nothing wonderful is going to happen if you don't have that safety. And, you know, because we co-regulate, that's how I roll. We're not having drama in my space. Yeah. You know, and I think I don't have to say that. I never say that, but you just know. So, the guard comes down and then people are able to open up and be authentic. And that's when we can connect.
Yeah. Connection happens in safety for sure. As you work into relationships and healthy social settings, you say that definitely cannot happen in these toxic environments. And that's exactly what you're talking about, because there's not safety to be yourself. So if you're not showing up as yourself, it's not ever, even if it looks healthy on the surface, it's still not healthy because you're self-abandoning and you're hiding. So jumping into that like shadow work, first of all, if you can just briefly explain what it is to people, and then what is its use, purpose? How is it used as a guide for survivors?
So shadow work is popular now. It's a thing. Yeah. And lots of people are using that. And it's good that you ask how is it defined, because it's not going to be the same for everybody. Yeah. So when I'm talking about shadow work, I'm talking about the stuff you don't see, the stuff that you don't maybe even know is there. So if somebody comes to me and they said, oh, I'm having a relationship problem, they may be having a relationship problem. But what is showing up on the outside, it's like the icing on the cake. It's not the cake. So what I'm going for is the cake, the stuff you don't even know that's there. I'm going through the body. I'm going through your dreams. I'm going through your metaphors. We're using the language of the, not the verbal, we're not the known, not the masculine. We're doing the feminine knowing to get into the deep core of the stuff. And it's usually pretty quick. It's usually bite-sized, so people don't get overwhelmed by it. And it's usually really deep. So it's like when you pull something out by the root, it's gone. It's gone.
Yeah, for sure. I love that, because finding the roots, I'm always helping my clients. That's what we're doing, is we're finding the roots of where these things actually came from, because that's where you can actually make sense of them. Right. And then if they make sense to you, then you can now make meaning out of it, or you can just let it go, whichever one needs to happen based on what's going on. How do we know if something is rooted in something different? Like if it's a negative emotion, is it definitely rooted somewhere else? If it's a positive emotion, is it definitely rooted somewhere else? Is every emotional flashback rooted somewhere else in your being?
I don't really focus on the emotions so much as the programs. So everybody has programs. We're all running programs, and you can see what your programs are by what does your life look like. If your life is running well, you have good programs or healthy programs, effective programs. If your life is not running well, you know, you've got some things under there. So I'm looking for, with the emotion is the gateway to the program, but I really want to undo that program. So for example, if my program is I'm stupid, you know, and I had lots and lots of times in my life where that was reinforced, I want to dig those out. Mm-hmm. I don't want that showing up in my now reality. Right. So the emotion is a kind of effect of the program. And, you know, emotions are healthy. They can be overdone or minimized. We need to be more emotional, but I'm really looking for that program.
What would you say to someone who's saying, well, this program's working for me right now, and I'm too afraid of what might be on the other side?
That's probably when I'm going to use a metaphor, because it allows you, well, metaphors aren't the only way, but it allows you to explore the territory without having to commit to letting go. Mm-hmm. So you can see, well, how does this feel? Well, this feels better. I like it over here. So then it becomes easier to let it go.
Yeah, I like that.
Lots of people are afraid of change.
Yeah. Yeah. And what might be on the other side, that unknown, that unfamiliar is actually, that's where that fear in the brain comes from, because the brain just wants familiarity. Even that's if it's right. bad, it really doesn't care. It just, at least it knows what to expect. So the unknown is really that scary side. So what are those like first steps where someone's listening to this and they're like, oh man, yeah, I've got a lot of these roots. I want to move out. What are some first easy steps that they can take toward these goals?
You're talking about trauma?
Yeah, trauma survivors, like they're hearing this and they're like, wow, I've got some roots, I've got some programs, or I'm in a lifestyle I don't really like. Where do they start?
So the first thing that I would do is educate them about what trauma is.
Mm, yeah.
Because a lot of people are in denial. And if you can understand it, a lot of people are very afraid. And the first thing they want, again, is safety. And if I can understand what this is, if I can see the path forward, if I can see that this makes sense for me, yes, I can claim this. They're going to be way more invested in actually following through. Mm-hmm. Because it's scary to dig in your past and be like, oh, I don't want to talk about my alcoholic father. I don't want to talk about my mentally ill mother. It's like, oh, that's ancient history. Can we just leave it alone? Right. I've gotten to a place where I feel secure. I don't want to go there. Right. So I think the education piece and just letting them know every step of the process, what's going to be happening with your body, these kinds of things is the first step. Mm-hmm. And then once we have that, then give them tools to help them self-regulate. And these are pretty easy too. Everybody can do this, even if it's just a tiny, tiny bit. If I know that I have control and I can feel a little bit better than I do right now, I'm going to have some confidence in going into unknown territory. And then we start to do the shadow work. So it's not like we just jump in and that, you know, let's just hit this thing. I want to make sure that you're going to land okay and you're going to be, you feel good about the whole process.
Yeah, because it really, there might be some painful moments in it, but the process itself should lead to a little bit of elevated feelings at least at the end. So that's a really great way to say that. I'm really curious about, you talk about like people who are sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? Like that's kind of the people they end up with you and they're sick and tired, right? Do we have to be at like a rock bottom? Do we have to be at like this breaking point for change? Or are people starting to really listen to like whispers? Do you find clients who are coming to you like, I'm just not sure. I think something's just not right, where it's not a total flop out moment, but they're just listening to those subtleties.
My clientele has always been the sick and tired of being sick and tired. I think it's because I'm holistic. Mm. You come to my website and it's like, what is this crazy chick doing? So I'm the person they come to when they've tried everybody else. It's changing a little bit because we are thankfully getting a little more holistic in our approach to trauma. And I think we have to be because that is the thing that works. Yeah. So nowadays it's they don't have to be sick and tired. They can be people who are just like, you know what, this isn't working, but not like at rock bottom. And I think you can come in at any time. And I think growth is a wonderful thing. If you can be better, why not be better?
Right. That's what I always say. Because even if it's just a little small change, like you just want to have a little bit more success, a little bit more money. You want to, you know, expand your family. You want to deepen a relationship. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't have to be some big giant thing that you want to, you know, excavate out of your entire life. You can just want something a little bit more. And that's a desire that is valid. I think there's a lot of self-honoring that comes with that. When you can listen to something small and go, I think I'm happy. And, but a lot of people would say, but there, I'm happy, but I think I want more. It can be, I'm happy, or really, I think should be, I am happy. And because once you kind of get to this place where you're like, yeah, you know, I'm content. And I also know I can keep growing and getting better. So there's a beauty, there's a transformational beauty in that as well. So I love that. I know you host your own podcast. Please tell us a little bit about it. It's called It's Not You, It's Me. What's your goals and your mission in this show?
So there is a lot of people out there who have issues of overcontrol. Mm. So we know about the people who act out and they have big emotions, but there's a lot of people who are well or appear well and are high functioning and they get stuff done and they're not really well. So it's mostly for them, but it's for anybody, but it's for people who need to kind of chill out, relax. and let go. And that's what I mean by, so for those people, it's not you, it's me, is a very powerful mantra. Because when you are high functioning, it's very easy to blame other people in the situations for what's going on in your life. I got it all together. It's not me, it's y'all, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. But that can be too much. Yeah. And that can make your relationships not fabulous. And there can be some shadow stuff going on there too. And there's a reason why you develop that way. Mm. So the middle way, when we're, I'm okay, you're okay, is the happy, healthy place. So it's not you, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
Is about taking responsibility for your life. So no matter what it looks like, mm. and making it better by taking power over what you can control. Yeah. And sometimes that means I need to let go. A lot of times it means I need to let go.
So anyone looking to chill out, i.e. what Laura is telling us, is that I am her direct person that she has designed the podcast for. So I will be subscribing. I think it's important to take that responsibility when you're in that high functioning role. You really can go, it's you people that are literally driving me insane. But it's the power and control that people have over you, which is a healing journey I am still continuing on for many years. But that a lot of people pleasers, a lot of fawning that happens, and trauma survivors that get stuck in the fawning and the people pleasing, you know, the rescuers, the fixers, those ones. It really does seem like everyone else is the big problem, but taking that responsibility is really kind of taking back that power. So yeah, I can appreciate that. Thank you for speaking directly to me and outing me to my audience. No, I'm just kidding. They should know my personal journey. I really appreciate you coming on. We always like to focus, obviously shadow work is one of the few things that you do, because there's many other things that you do. Tell us a little bit more about the resources that you offer and maybe a couple that were helpful to you or that helped sustain you, obviously in social work and as a mental health professional, it's important that you are utilizing. What's really helpful for you?
I really love and have always loved connecting with other people. Mm. I come from a big family and that's been a huge part of my life. My moon is in Cancer, so I'm all about family and not necessarily blood family. So the sacred travel is gigantic for me. Mm-hmm. And I host things all the time. So I host moon circles for women. We have a pilgrimage coming up, silent retreats, things like that. So community and safety and vulnerability. I really love that kind of stuff. And I will like sharing it with other people. So I'm always doing things like that. And that's really what sustains me.
Mm, yeah. I love that. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people find you? Where can they reach out to you? Where can they listen to your podcast? And I'll have all this linked up in the show notes for everyone.
My website is lauragiles.org and the podcast is lauragiles804.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time and speaking with us today. And just a reminder for everyone, taking that responsibility is so key. That's really that step that's needed before you're ready to dive in and do the work. So thank you for reminding us of that. I appreciate it. Sure. Have a great rest of your day. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to or watching this episode of the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. Please subscribe, like, share, and follow. For any information that was discussed in this podcast episode, check out the show notes below. Until next time, be well.